This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and your man's out there trying to find a side chick. My man's watching old step-by-step episodes.
Mm-hmm. I'm Brandy Posey, and Bigfoot hasn't had a human sighting in weeks.
I'm Tess Barker, and is Chugi Chugi yet?
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Oh my God, welcome to the show, everybody. Fucking great episode we have for you today. But first, we've got exciting shit for you, okay? So we're going to say our exciting shit first.
Plugs on, plugs on, plugs on, plugs. Plugs
on butt plugs.
On butt plugs, on hair plugs.
First Sunday of the month is coming up, and what does that mean, you guys?
Oh my God, we've got our live show November 7th at Permanent Records Roadhouse in Los Angeles. We've got Margaret Cho, no big freaking deal.
So excited.
It's going to be so fun. Get your tickets, tinyurl.com/ladytoladylive. You can also watch it on Zoom. Wow. Holy shit. And also, we're going to be doing a holiday show all over Zoom on December 5th. Welcome to that. Come to
yeah. Welcome to that. Come to that. They're
welcome to the holidays. Let us welcome you to the holiday season.
We'll have a holiday cocktail Zoom. And mocktail. It's going to be a great time on Zoom. We're your holiday best. Love more
you cheese. You guys, I'm going to make sure I have my tree before that show.
Yes. Oh, we had holiday pets last time. So many fun times. Mm-hmm. So that's December 5th, mm-hmm. our holiday show. November 7th is our last live show of the year. And yeah, they're all great. And then Tess and I are doing a Freedom Party celebration on November 15th, which is the Monday after Britney's last, hopefully, knock on wood, hearing on loopedlive.com. You can buy tickets there. We'll be doing Britney's gram. We'll be analyzing her posts again. We'll be talking about the hearing. We'll be celebrating. So come hang out with us there. That's going to be a good time.
And starting this weekend, I have got a tour that's going on for 3 weeks. So if you live all over the country, come out and see me live, brandyposey.com/tour for all of your ticket needs. I'm going to be in Austin, Texas, Gainesville, Florida, Asheville, North Carolina, Louisville, Kentucky, Chicago, Illinois, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Lincoln, Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Fort Collins, Colorado, and Denver, Colorado, with the delightful Anna Valenzuela and Kevin Casey White, three of us from tour together. It's going to be a freaking blast. I am very excited to come out and do live stand-up again, and these shows are going to be super fun. We're checking vax cards at the door at basically every venue, doing everything we can to be safe and fun, and please come out and say hi. I love meeting fans.
It's so fun. It's so cool to be out there on the road again, and like, you know, it means so much when you come out and see us live. Like, it really,
we love meeting you guys. It, honestly, whenever we meet you guys after shows, it like, we just leave with a smile on our faces.
Yeah.
Because we're lovely.
Exactly. And like, if you think we're funny when we're just like riffing, imagine how funny I am when I think about what I say before I say it. So,
yes, ma'am.
So, yeah, that's all of our stuff. And now let's get to the show. Oh my God. Big show this week. We've got
comedy legend.
Yeah.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
He is, you know him from the Police Academy series. He is now a director, and he's promoting his new movie, Joyride, which is a documentary that follows him and Dana Gould. They got into a car wreck when they were like beginning filming this documentary, and it kind of captures them going back on the road after that. And just like some really fun, you know, footage of them when they're younger, starting off comedy, all of Bobcat's like crazy antics that he got up to, which I didn't know a lot of. So they're really fun to
inspiring.
Watch. Very inspiring.
Yeah, and their comedy friendship is really really fun to watch play out too. Like I genuinely love watching comics just be friends and like love each other on screen. And they're just, they're two like legends working today. I mean, they're two like awesome old guys that I've looked up to my whole career. Like it's very cool to see them still like pushing themselves and doing really cool, interesting stuff still.
So check that out. But most importantly, stick around because this conversation is so much fun. We really had a blast with Bobcat. A great way to start our Tuesday morning. And I hope you guys are having a wonderful Wednesday morning listening to this.
Let's welcome our guest. Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. As I said, I'm okie dokie.
What part in the press junket are we for the...
Well, I'd say that I am at the part where I started to realize that I'm getting certain stock answers, but I'm still kind of making them fresh. I'm not in robot mode yet, but
yeah.
You're getting there. We're getting to like mid robot.
Well, I was kicked off my own press junket once on a movie called Hot to Trot. And I was just brutally honest. Like I was like, it's not a very good movie, you know? And, which I said that during the press junket and, Warner Brothers frowned upon that, and suddenly a manager was brought to the... I was kicked off my own press junket.
Wow. Was that kind of a relief, honest. Though? That must have been nice.
Yeah, but I also kind of felt like, oh, man. You know, sometimes, like, I'll be like, after I do something, I was like, oh, maybe that was too far. Like, once I was on a benefit and Michael Bolton was the headliner, mm-hmm. and I'm like, well, I'm never going to have this kind of access again. So I went up and while he was singing, I just started dry humping him.
Oh my God.
And then I got tackled by his crew and dragged off stage. And
oh my God.
Sometimes I actually feel bad. I was like, oh, maybe that wasn't cool. But and they're like yelling at me, no, Michael's going to be really mad. Don't be around when he gets off stage. And I was like, oh. So I ran around the whole theater and just climbed out and did it again. So I guess I didn't feel that bad.
That's what it was really fun watching Joyride because like the videos of your hijinks were so enjoyable. And like writing Paramount sucks, you know,
yeah.
And I'm just like,
yeah.
So good. Yeah. And I feel like it was never.
That was on Arsenio, right?
On Arsenio's show.
I spray painted Paramount sucks on the set.
Yeah,
because they had fired him basically, yeah. And then mm-hmm. yeah, I used to do a lot of stuff like that. And sometimes I think it was sincere in the motivation, but other times it was just me being self-destructive.
Were you a kid who liked to be dared to do things?
No, I was always like, "This is a great idea."
We should all get.
No, there was no daring. It was you know, I don't know the difference between a good idea or a bad idea, but I treat them both with the same amount of enthusiasm. You know, it's like this is really solid. Yeah, this. I think my body of work speaks for itself. Like, why not make an alcoholic clown movie? Perfect. Yeah.
Totally. I mean, I would assume a high percentage of clowns are alcoholics. So if anything, it's just a slice of life.
Sure. You know, clowns actually like shakes, or a lot of clowns did. But it's kind of like the Bigfoot community. Like they, you know, if you, there's so far and few between. So Bigfoot community actually likes the beef jerky commercials, you know, anything that has
you want representation.
Of
any form.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So they're like, you know, so clowns are the same way. But I had when clowns were protesting that movie, I don't know if this is in the movie. I ended up on the Today Show with Katie Couric, and she said it was her worst interview in the history of her career when you interview her. Because they're debating, you know, the clown never, Today Show never would have me on. And then because clowns were protesting shakes, I get flown in, I go in, and it's a true story. The producer stops me in the hallway and she goes, a clown is going to debate you on the program. and I'm like, yeah, I know. I've seen your show. And I really said that. And then
can't believe they wouldn't have you.
And then I ended up debating a clown on TV, and Katie Couric wasn't familiar with my act or anything. And I'm like, the only reason you perform in hospitals is because that's one place a kid can't get up and run away from you. And Katie Kirk's go, would you be serious? I'm like, no, you're interviewing me and a clown. So,
what hard-hitting thing do you think was going to happen today?
Yeah. So the clowntroversy was very helpful in promoting Shakespeare.
Were they in full clown?
Yeah. What is a
makeup,
clown?
I'm assuming.
Like?
And they showed up in clown outfits and protested the movie, which was wonderful. You know, I was really happy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that seems like something you would, hire people on Craigslist for. So I feel like you got a deal.
That does. That's, yeah. As someone who's been to some protests, just a practical aspect, though, the shoes had to be tough in that crowd.
Sure. Yeah. It's easy. It's easy to step on someone's toes when you're wearing size 18. But yeah, I mean, that couldn't, like, all the protocol at protests were probably out the window during the clown protest. But it truly was funny because the clowns that did protest had no sense of humor. It was so great. It was, and what I was parodying was stand-up comics in that movie, and they don't have a sense of humor. You know,
no.
I don't know what went wrong with comedy. I guess it's the internet, but the dissecting stand-up comedy. It's like when I run into like a creepy guy and he wants to talk intimately about sex. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. And also, by the way, people who talk about sex aren't getting laid, and people who talk about comedy and break it down are never funny. People who take it really serious and who's the goat? It's like, shut up. We are clowns. Just stop
yes.
it.
Yeah, yeah. Be fun. Yeah, I've never wanted to be into overanalyzing it. It's just exhausting, especially if you're doing it all the time. I'm like, I don't also have the time to fucking think that much about it. Like, I'm already trying to come up with the jokes.
I find that happens with like pot too. People are so fucking scientific about pot. It's like we're just getting high.
And like the heavy duty weed smokers have absolutely no sense of humor. None. And they get aggro. Like I was filming a thing at the High Times Award and they were super aggro. It's like the cliche of being, you know, hey man, you know, that was out the window. It was really douchey.
I got into this what to I'm giggle and is, hang out, relax.
What I'm saying is the brofication of America destroys everything.
We know the Woodstock 99 documentary.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. It's the brofication of America is terrible.
For sure. Well, it's like, stop overanalyzing the things that bring you joy. Just let there be like fun little miracles in the day. A laughing, like fucking smoking
also,
a joint. Like these are just moments that just, they can just be nice.
Well, also just like the people I admired as a comedian would never make your bonehead list, you know, people that was, you know, that I thought were fun and stuff. Yeah, it's I don't know what to do. I truly, you know, it's, you know, I'm 59, but it's I am a VHS comedian in a TikTok world and I don't know what I'm doing anymore. You know, you what's worse is when you see people my age trying to do Instagram or something. No, it's really embarrassing.
Do we have a choice though? Because I feel like the other aspect, I've got a mom who's, she calls herself Amish. She's not actually Amish, but she's a total Luddite. And like, I don't want to do that. My mom like literally said to me once, no, Teresa, I'm not going to learn how to text message on vacation. Okay.
It's going to ruin the vacation.
Yeah, or like it was going to stress her out so much. She didn't need homework. I'm like, it's literally a button you press.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I know. I don't want to get to that point. Like, I want to be in the middle where I'm like, I accept that there is new technology and I will adapt at some point. But also, like, I just know my limitations. So you have to, find where you are.
You know, part of our job as comics and then, like, even making a movie, I have to go on Instagram and promote stuff. Mm-hmm. Even to the point where, like yesterday, I was like going, the content has been too much about promoting the movie, so I need to put some funny content on. And I did. It's so creepy. I'm just being dishonest to these people who are, I had a picture of, I missed a big spot when I was shaving my head. I had this big clump of fur because I shaved my own head. And I posted that and everybody commented on it and I felt dirty.
Great engagement.
Yeah.
Bob, you fed them.
I feel like I think I liked that picture, but I knew that it was because of promotion that you were like, I wanted to help the algorithm boost you into the next.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, we're having on the podcast tomorrow. Let me like this picture of this hair just to really get him over the hump.
It's 100% true. Yeah. There's a whole protocol, like what you like, what you don't like.
For sure.
And, you know, and there's I shouldn't know what 1,600 people are up to. I mean, that's just unhealthy. That's crazy. Let alone like the protocol of like when you have an ex, do you unfollow? That's harsh. But then you you know what your exes are up to, and they know what you're up to, and it's not. We weren't designed
this
way. It's
basically like keeping a key to their apartment and popping in every once in a while.
hey awesome, but who's, like also who's only, this only on
the, yeah but only on the day that they've cleaned too, because what we're seeing online is not the right, real life
we're
version
only seeing right.
You know, I mean, like every picture I'm posting is like, oh, this is a perfect photo of my dog and me and my, you know, whatever. It's like that's not what is happening.
I think like you also have the opposite too. Like anytime I post something that's vulnerable, like I posted about being depressed the other day, and like a few people DM me who I am not close to, and were like, hey, do you need? And I was like, no, I'm good. Like, don't hit me up out of the blue. Don't use this as an excuse to slide into my DMs, for the love of God. Please.
Yeah,
I just really loved watching Joyride, and especially when you were talking about, you know, success and like how you kind of like rejected it at some point and then kind of found more fulfillment, which I think is like, you know, is all of us are like, we're still in there, we're still going for it, but like I look at the goals that I have and like I try not to, it's like I really want them, but I have to try and enjoy the journey that I'm on, or else obviously, what's the fucking point? But it can be hard.
It's important to, you know, I was doing a commencement speech and just keep quitting. And then, but the end of that is, and keep quitting until you end up someplace you don't want to leave, you know? Mm-hmm. And I quit. I quit often. And it's just like, I go, oh, this isn't working for me anymore. And, you know, that voice in my head was right all the way back to when I was 21, when I was like, I don't want to be in this movie, and I shouldn't, you know, and I should have listened to it, but whatever, boohoo. But I think it's just like we're supposed to confuse making it with happiness, and that's not going to really fill that hole in you if you end up making it, and you, it's going to just increase the size of it.
I also think so few people, certainly not myself, but I don't know if anyone I ever know, the idea that making it is this like concrete, easily identifiable moment, I think is a fallacy too, because you just get addicted to the next thing. You never really have that. You don't have the even one day where you're like, I fucking made it. There's always going to be something else that you want. So that's kind of, I think, a good thing to let go of too.
It's this weird thing. It's like, oh, as a comedian, oh, I wish I could do 5 minutes. Oh, I wish I could MC. Oh, I wish I could headline. Oh, I wish I could get on Letterman. I wish I could get an HBO special. I wish there'll always be something. So it's kind of hard to decide that I just finished a screenplay, and while I was writing it, I was really enjoying it, and I have never enjoyed writing screenplays. I always think of them as just a skeleton, an outline, and I really enjoyed it, and I did it. I enjoyed it. That's the news. That's the, I enjoyed
that's
it.
That's huge.
Was it the subject that made you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was. Like, the world is such a trash fire. I really thought the most punk rock kind of script I could write right now was a hopeful one. So I wrote like a kid's movie. I wrote like a G-rated movie. And I had a
I would
ball
love to see
it.
A G-rated movie from you. Listen, yeah, Hollywood, like, if you're like listening people, right now, make this people, happen.
When people were reading early drafts, they go, I get it. It's a kid's movie. You got to get rid of the animal decapitations. I go, okay.
No, you don't. Kids are like, brutal. Kids are so brutal. Right? They love that shit. No, uh-uh. No, kids are sadistic little shits. They love it more than we do as adults.
And any kid's movie that you love was terrifying.
Oh, 100%.
So hopefully it's still terrifying, but in the right
place.
Yeah,
you have to do the opposite of punching. You don't want to punch up the script. You want to take out the decapitation. You have to, like, slowly remove.
But it was a hard process for me to like, if I don't have, you know, often the movies I make that I'll put something in and it's like, oh, can I still get an audience to identify with these characters and not check out? Mm-hmm. So this movie is void of that. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no, like, Sleeping Dogs Lie. It was called Stay originally. You know, it has a tiny bit of bestiality, you know. Right. And then let's try to get past that and see if I'll still get the audience to root for the character. But when that movie was at Sundance, it was $20,000, and I shot it with a crew from Craigslist. And the first screening, this woman's trying to leave. Like, again, it's tastefully done. It's all off camera, but she's trying to get up and leave during the bestiality scene, and she stays. And then my daughter, who I think was 18 at the time, about 50 minutes later, that woman's crying, and my daughter turns to me and she goes, look at your friend. And I look back at the woman, and my daughter goes, yeah, you cry, bitch. You cry.
I always think, yeah, I've never been in like that. I guess we've had a few experiences where we've had to sit in a theater and have people watch something we did that was not taken
How
well.
How could you forget that?
But I never, like, I always think about that when I go to Sundance or something, and like, wow, it'd be so, what is it like to sit in a theater while everyone around you watches something you made?
Oh, like, I had like at Shakes, they had like a charity premiere and people walked out. It was,
they took their money back. Lost money at the end.
I don't care if the people are unhoused. That movie was horrible.
I bankrupted a children's hospital with the premiere.
Yeah. Ours was, I think we did it, we've had a few, not like that big of scale, but a few times where we had to just eat shit in front, just watching people be disappointed in you.
Well, the other night, when I was, that joke I just told, like, when I saw people get up and walk out, I was like, my heart was like, I still got it, you know. I was
totally.
I was like, I'm going to gut this room. You know,
I always try to remember that, like, I don't like a lot of things, so I kind of can't expect a lot of things to like me.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
I have to, like, watching my play, I think, was one of the most nerve-wracking experiences of my life, because, like, it's different, because stand-up, you're in control, so even if you're bombing, you're kind of the pilot of that bombing.
Right.
But it's like watching something you've written and being in the audience is like watching your own self do a striptease somehow, but you have no control over it.
But when you saw the play, and when it did work, I'm assuming for people, it's different experience when they laugh or they cry, and it's, you're not on stage, you're not in it, you're just, isn't it a crazy,
it feels
feeling?
Actually really nice. Yeah, because you don't have to have that pilot brain of like, what am I gonna do? Right. Like, you can kind of just like sit in it hitting. Yeah, and it's amazing.
So, like, when I say I like to write and direct, you know, people confuse that with humility. But the reality of it is, like, no, I want to play God. I want, yes. It's a much bigger ego.
When I'm all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I'm sitting there and watching a 15-year-old teenager say something and it gets a laugh, that's next level. I'm like, oh, that's not me. And yeah, it's all big ego.
Yeah.
How humble that is behind the camera.
No, that just means I get to do more things.
Yeah, I'm not limited to this 59-year-old cis white male carcass.
All right, exactly. We have to take a break, but we'll be back with this cis white male carcass. White male carcass.
I think that's a better name for my tour.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Bobcat.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Lady to Lady totally makes sense for me. When I was a little boy, I'm talking like 5 or 6, you wouldn't, you know, the kids would be like, where'd he go? And I would be in there talking to the moms.
Oh.
I always did. I don't know what that's about, but I was always...
I always really love it when we do have like a guy on the show. You're in a very elite crew. It's like you, French Stewart, Kyle Kinane, and like Baron Vaughn is about it.
Wow. But that's a great team.
Yeah. I love it when we do have a guy on the show, because then it's just like, you get to see what they're like when they just hang out with a bunch of gals. And the guys that we tend to have on, I think they're like very comfortable, very happy to change up the dynamic.
And we like to create the illusion that there can only be one of you, so that you compete against each other.
Right. Yeah. We're deciding who will survive. And
I think it's
an interview.
It's funny in the comedy world, when I jokingly say this, I'm like, you know, there's a lot of young comedians, and so sometimes you're going to be hosting, and the cool thing to always remember if you're bringing up a woman comedian is make sure you tell the audience that it's a woman comedian before they get up there. It's really important.
Of course.
You know, our next comedian is a woman.
If you want to tell everyone that about how attractive they are, that's really important, I think.
Before I start a set, I ask the audience to picture my genitals, and then we just sit in silence for 5 seconds, and then
it really doesn't happen that much anymore. Also, because a lot of us don't play just shitty clubs, a lot of indie venues.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, it'll happen once in a while, and you're like, oh, there it is. But it's been a while.
I was on the road, and I kind of thought I was done with that, but not in Kansas City.
It still
happens.
There are pockets where a renaissance is occurring.
I've
told this. My favorite one ever was when I did the what was it called? The John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal City Walk.
I was there for this, and it was a really beautiful moment. It was a bringer show.
Yeah. Bringer show, and it's stupid, weird, Hawaiian themed comedy club with John Lovitz's name on it. It was so stupid.
There's a surfboard on stage.
There was a surfboard, and there was also a pair of sandals put up against it, as if it was at John Lovitz's one person show, but then you had to do stand up in it. It was so funny. And Babs, they didn't know that you were a woman, and the host realized as he's reading the names.
Yeah, he was introducing me, and he said okay, your next guy coming, and then he looked over and he was all right, it's a woman, and so the DJ, he gave the DJ enough time to clock what was happening, and as I walk up, the music goes hey, sister soul, and I was I could not stop laughing. It was so
I like to think dude had a button in the booth that just says woman, and he was and he pressed it.
He had a big pink button.
Yeah.
It was great.
This next guy, who's girl, coming to the... So stupid. So stupid.
Okay.
Well, that's the comedy I grew up with. That's my graduating class.
Thank you.
Very dark.
Paving
times.
The way. Okay, we're going to play a game with you. I don't know if you ever did Inside the Actor's Studio, but now's your chance.
No, I did not.
I would have loved to have actually seen you and James Lipton.
I would have loved to have been on that show.
Were you?
Yeah. Well, this is your chance.
Did
you watch it a lot?
I watched a fair amount of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember when That's What Bravo was.
Yeah.
It was on Bravo,
and that was its mm-hmm. flagship show. Bravo was that, and then I used to come home high on Friday on Friday nights and watch the ballet. What Bravo was. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, Bravo certainly has changed. I didn't realize.
Yeah, Bravo, Bravo. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the Real Housewives.
Exactly. Thank
you. Okay, so these are some of the questions from Inside the Actor's Studio. We call this Inside the Lady. There's no wrong answers, so.
All right.
Don't, whatever. Okay, what is your favorite word?
Favorite word? You mean the word I say?
Sure,
whatever. Favorite word.
A word that brings me joy. Or,
This is why you didn't book the gig, dude.
Yeah, I choked. The first word that came up was actually my favorite curse word. That was dog cock.
Dog cock is
so
great.
So it's two words, but dog cock, that's my favorite word.
That's a great, honestly,
by
great.
The way,
never heard
by
it.
By the way, I say dog cock not necessarily when I'm just upset. Like, it could be like something fabulous.
Can we get it in context?
In a sentence.
Like, it's usually like if, you know, obviously, you know, you drop something heavy on your foot, dog cock. But also, you receive a check in the mail. It's like, dog cock.
Yeah, you have an idea for that children's screenplay, and you're like, by dog cock, I've got it. Perfect.
Mike, it's My Fair Lady with dog cock.
Is it the big dog malian? Cock and smock falls mainly on the flock.
And where is that dog cock?
On the dock.
But that would be my favorite word. It's two words, really, but I guess it'd be hyphenated.
Well, in my mind, it's one word.
It's one word. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing it as, And is it on a
I'm seeing it like motherfucker. Yeah, like a full word.
You know what's funny? It's like when you asked me what my favorite word was, that was the word that popped into my head. And then I'm like going, But you could slip it in something like, it could be like an English surname. Mr. Dogcock, you know.
The Francis Dogcock.
I mean, Francis Dogcock.
Of
the Hampton Dogcock.
Yes. In a British accent, Dogcock is... listeners, if anybody is from Britain and would like to call in and just say the word Dogcock with your accent on our answering machine, we would love to hear it. 323-6-butt-30. Go ahead.
All right.
We'll send them to you, Bob.
Thank you.
Okay, Bob. What is your least favorite word?
Hack.
You don't like when people call it that? Call things like?
No, I cringe when people use the word hack because they don't even know what it means as a way to cut someone down. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a red flag. It's like, oh, you're not a good... Anyone using the word hack is usually a hack. That's the truth. That's the thing, you know. So that word, that makes me want to vomit when I hear someone say hack. Like, someone's a hack. It's like, no.
Yeah, it's been so overused at this point, too, that it's like, what does it even mean? It's lost all meaning as a word completely. Yeah.
Yeah, like, that cat is a hack.
Yeah.
He's so played out. The cat in the hack.
I feel like I use hack not a lot, but like I reserve it for when I truly believe that's what's going on.
That it is a hack.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
When it's just like, you know, boring. Well, I guess that's why I think boring, like, oh, you haven't thought that's an idea from, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Like,
I have to say, someone that I dislike had a review of their work written recently, and it was called Schlocky. And
that was great.
Schlocky is, if you want to say hack, just say schlocky.
Schlocky. Yeah. And did you, was there Schneisenfreud here? Did you enjoy this bad review?
Not only did I enjoy it, I drank 3 glasses of wine and retweeted it.
It was very enjoyable.
And leaned back and went, dog cock.
Yes.
Dog cock kind of is like Eureka. Eureka. Yeah.
I found it.
Yeah. I like that because I think hack is also like, it's kind of putting the gloves on something as opposed to just being like, you're boring and outdated. You know, it's like, we don't need another word. Like, that to me feels more harsh just to be like, to actually call it what it is.
Do you know what's funny is like when I thought of it, I wasn't thinking of when someone would refer to what I was doing as hack. But just when I hear other people use it, again, it's the brofication of comedy, you know?
I don't think I would ever actually like call anything you've done hack though, because you do like pivot when you feel. You do though. You do want to constantly evolve, and like people like decide to arrest their development in something. I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah, I guess I would be bummed out if somebody did say that about me, you know.
Oh yeah, I would be very. I would be really mad because I'd be like, really, like. You can't, I don't think that you've seen this before, but okay.
Yeah, that would cut me to the core. It's kind of like if someone calls you annoying.
Oh, I just think they're wrong. that just might be my ego just being like, no, I'm pretty fucking cool. Fuck off.
Annoying is a kryptonite?
Yeah.
Well, the expression dad joke is very cutting when someone says that. Like, dad joke. It's like, well, I am a dad. And
Dad jokes are good, though. Like, I think dad joke is an, like, a loving term.
You know what?
Me.
I think women can take... Women like to have their jokes called dad jokes more because it's kind of like the boyfriend cut jean.
Yeah. I just feel sad there's not a mom joke.
Oh,
like,
there are.
Mom... Are there? What would you consider a mom joke?
I don't know if they're like a joke is. Well, I feel like it's like
t-shirts. Yeah.
Talk. Oh yeah, red wine and blue.
Yeah, they're usually involving wine or coffee.
I definitely did see someone wearing that working out, so that was a specific call out. But, yeah, a lot of wine puns, I guess.
Wine puns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Bobcat. What turns you on?
What turns me on? What really turns me on? Let me try the thing. I guess these are hard because you don't want to say what does turn you on.
He's like a big ass.
Has anyone just said that? Like, yeah.
No, you
just... I like a big onion. No.
I guess I didn't watch like a lot of Inside the Actor's Studio, so like. Would people say sexually what it was, or was it usually like
Sean Penn's
just
answer
like creatively?
Was, Sean Penn's answer was when two people can really dance.
Oh my God.
It's just like actors answering this shit is so funny because like they're just like trying to be like take a moment to be deep and they know what's coming ahead of time too. So they like have their pre-scripted answers like ready to go. It's so funny to read.
I guess I would just, I mean, this sounds really hack, laughing with someone, especially about the same stuff, you know, when you're laughing. And you're like, that's pretty awesome. It's like, you know, finding your other star belly sneech, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I 100% get that. It's like that's a moment when I know that this is a friend, when there's like something shitty or whatever the thing is that like you're like, oh, this is a moment that I'm going to jump off the cliff. And are you going to jump off it with me? Oh, you did jump? Well, we're just going to die together.
Yeah. It means it's safe. Mm-hmm. And it means that when you're laughing at the same stuff, it's I guess it's safe is where I was going to go with that. But
yeah, no, I think that's very true. Cause it's like, I mean, laughter is like you being like, oh, this is the thing that brings me joy. Does it also bring you joy? So to like,
but you know, there's also, you know, you can't, no matter if you don't like someone, you can't laugh at what they say, even if what they're saying is really pithy or witty.
Yeah, you know. Unless they get angry, and then you can laugh a lot.
Oh, you mean laugh at them? Then.
Well, I have a really bad nervous giggle, and like, yeah, when someone I doesn't like gets pissed off, I have to leave the room.
I agree too. When I'm watching reality shows, when people start losing their shit, I start laughing. And it's usually really ugly and horrible. Yeah. And then I start laughing. It was funny. I was doing an interview and I grew up with Tom Kenny, who is...
Oh, I love Tom Kenny.
SpongeBob.
Yeah. So Tommy's... I've known him since he was six. We were six.
Oh, wow.
We met in first grade at Catholic school. And so, I've known him my whole life. But I was doing this interview and the person was just asking me all these questions about Tom Kenny. And I finally said, do you know what's the difference between Tom Kenny and me? And they go, what? I go, Tom Kenny's not doing your show and I am. And so I told him that story last night. And I was like, is he going to be mad that I said that? And he just, you know, we started laughing so hard. Yeah.
Because
sometimes like, even with him, I can be really negative. But it just doesn't exist. We just love each other. We just laugh all the time. No one's ever, you know, he and I, that love is really crazy how much... I've never felt that funny because I grew up with this guy who is the funniest person I've ever met.
It's beautiful. I love that. Well, and it's like those old friendships, the older you get to, you're just like, oh, I'll never, this is an irreplaceable person in my life too. They've known me through all of it.
And when we work together, when I'm directing him, there's just a shorthand, you know, I'll go up, Neil Schmid, which is a guy we knew in third grade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Look, I got it. I'm Neil Schmidt in this scene.
Crazy He's thing also... to grow up with someone and get to work with them professionally as an adult. That's so cool.
One day we were on, I was doing a voice on Adventure Time. And Tommy stepped into the booth and he was giving me kind of direction on the voice. And then it just digressed and we're basically making fart noises. And I was like... Our relationship has not changed in 53 years. We're just now just doing it into a microphone.
That's the dream. Noises. That's the fucking dream right there.
100%. Yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. I love that.
Does he get recognized? Because he's the voice of SpongeBob still.
Yeah,
right?
Now he does get recognized. I'll run into adults who will recognize him and they'll burst into tears. But we've always been competitive, and I remember like 15 years ago I was checking in a hotel and the plastic key is SpongeBob, and I was like, god damn it, he won. I've been a Happy Meal toy twice, but I've never been a key. Won.
Well, this children's movie, you never know where it's going to go.
Never know.
Is that like an EGOT if you're three Happy Meal toys?
Three. Yes. It also means that I've been lodged in dogs' colons.
Yes. You've been fished out of a few assholes in an ER before. So, yes. It's great.
Wait, what were the Happy Meal toys? Like just little figurines?
In Hercules, I was a character that was a Happy Meal toy.
Oh, awesome.
I was a toy for Police Academy. I don't think it was a Happy Meal toy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, awesome, I think that's though. It.
Do they, if you were a toy, do they send you a toy of you? Or do you just never find out about that stuff?
Police Academy, you don't find out about it. It's just suddenly there's a toy and you push a button in my back and my pants fall off.
That's amazing.
It's like I would have said okay, but no underpants. Let's really commit. But
yeah, I've got some notes.
Because you know what's funny? We're talking about Joyride. There was I rappelled in nude from the roof of the Oakland Coliseum during a Nirvana concert on New Year's one night, and I had the in utero wings on, and then I liked that I wore a hat. Yes. I didn't mind people seeing my love handles and my penis, but not my balding pate. That was where my ego was. But I almost put that footage in the documentary, but I truly did remember that evening as being cold. And it wasn't. And it is very flattering. The harness, it doesn't. It just ends up working as like a some kind of strap-on kind of. And I hit the stage and I'm flapping around. And my girlfriend and I were watching it, and we both went, oh, no. Like, you can't. It's not cool. Like, if I put it in the movie, it just would have messed up things a lot. Like, you'd be like, wait a second.
Yeah.
Didn't we just see your dick? That was really weird. But I thought about it.
Did you tell the guys? They knew that you were going to do that.
Yeah, we were. It was New Year's Eve, so there was going to be explosions that went off. And I said, "Well, how about if I rappel in nude?" And by the way, nobody said, "Dude, that's crazy." Everyone's like, "Yeah, that's solid. That's a pretty good plan." You know, like it didn't get a laugh. It wasn't like, "Oh no, I can't believe it." It was just like, "Yeah, that tracks. Okay." And then. I said to Kurt, I was like, I'm tired of being Scatter. You know, that was Elvis's chimp. Mm-hmm. You should get Pauly Shore to. And so what happens is at midnight, he looks up and he's like, Pauly? Because I was like holding my own weight suspended. And I shot down so fast, he didn't even see it. Like, I landed. And, yeah, so he looks up and he's like, Pauly? And people are like, what is he talking about? But, yeah.
That's beautiful.
You know, it's often in life, I don't look for these things. It's more like, I think this would be something fun. Or do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so I'll tell a story if you don't mind. I was scuba diving with my daughter, and this Navy SEAL took me down as my stepson and my daughter and a couple other people, and we're under the water, and he looks over and he points out a turtle, and he does the hand signal for a turtle, and then he points out the fish, and he does the hand signal, and then he goes like this, the hand signal for a shark, and he points. So he'd point the turtle, we'd swim over to it. So, and point to the fish, we'd swim over to it. He points to the shark, and I swim over to it, and then I look behind me, and no one else swam to the shark. Everybody's in safe distance, and the shark even turned around and looked at me. It's like, oh, I'm a shark, you know. And I was trying to swim away. I swam away backwards, like, and the guy goes, you know, up. So, you know, he points, go get out. So we get out of the water, and he goes, why did you swim towards the shark? And my daughter goes, my dad's been swimming towards the shark his whole life.
Oh, I love that.
She gets it. She fully gets it.
Yeah. And by the way, it didn't skip a generation. She's always, she tends to do things because she knows the value of that. You're not going to have that chance again.
You guys' house must have been so fun. Was it just like shenanigans?
It was kind of, but it was also like that's how she grew up. So she just thought, I mean, there was a time where we were talking about the Arsenio Hall show, and she grew up with good friends. That was Lily Idol, which is Eric Idol's daughter. And Eric is my daughter's godfather. And although I was like, you can't be her godfather, I'm an atheist. And I'm her dog father. So they're thick as thieves. But so Tasha, my daughter, I was coloring with her, and she was probably like seven. And the news comes on, and it goes, comedian goes berserk on the Arsenio Hall show. And my daughter goes, ugh. I go, what's wrong? She goes, sometimes you act like you don't have a brain in your head. And I go, it's just comedy. And she goes, it's not just comedy. It's on the news. Lily's dad's not on the news. Like Eric Idle's going to go crazy on a talk show.
Oh, my God.
Although Eric probably was an influence on me as a kid. I remember seeing him on Mike Douglas, and they did go crazy. They were tackling each other while they're trying to do an interview. So Python was a big influence on me.
You know what's funny? In my head, for like a second, when you said Eric, I heard Billy. And I was like, I didn't realize that you were so close to Billy Idol. Weird. I was like, okay, I'm not going to judge. Weird. I didn't see that coming, though.
Yeah, it's a white wedding. But I, I've met him over the years. I don't want to brag.
Billy?
No, beef.
You know all the idols.
All the idols. But yeah, Eric has been a friend for years.
That is so fucking cool. I mean, that's Jesus awesome. Christ. That is amazing.
I remember this story. It was my 50th birthday, and Robin Williams is my friend, and he's like, hey, B. I won't be at your birthday. And I was like, oh, it's all right, whatever. And I opened up the door, and he's in my living room on the phone with me. I was walking into the house. Aww. So he surprised me. And it was just like, I think about, it was like Tom Kenny and Eric and Robin and Peter Asher, a couple other people. And we were just making music, and it was really fun. And but my friend Dan Spencer gave me a little helicopter that was just the word fuck. And it's a remote control plane. And so I set it off. It goes right over into the neighbor's first flight, right? So I knock on the door and I go, hi, this toy of mine in your backyard. And they're like, are you Bobcat Goldthwait? And I was like, yeah. You're our neighbor? I go, yeah. Oh, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. I get the helicopter. I try the helicopter again. Shoo, goes right over the lawn. I go, Robin, you got to go get the helicopter. So he knocks on the door. Like, oh, my God, Robin Williams. He goes, yeah, there's a helicopter. So third time, I go, come on, Eric, you got to go. He's like, I'm not going to go. He's like, fuck off, you know. It would have been great. I go, it's threes,
that's
man.
Perfect.
You got to go.
Got
it. Oh, my God.
All right, let's do more. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, okay. We're good. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do one more and then we'll take a break. Let's see. Yeah, what turns you off?
a big, they would say the word no. That was always big on the actor studios.
Oh, yes.
Lack of empathy, you know, mm-hmm. when people don't have any empathy, that turns me off. What turns me off, I'm trying to think of, like, in that sense, in the sexy sense, was I was a waiter in Boston, and there was a woman I had a big crush on. And so I was the one that was supposed to wait on her every morning. And then she said one morning, "Can I have some more moo juice?" She called milk moo juice. And I was like, it's over. It's over.
No. No, there's no coming back from moo juice.
Yeah, I was like, the next day, I was like, "Hey, your girlfriend's here." I go, "God, she's dead to me. She said moo juice."
It's the opposite of mojo.
Yeah,
I wish that for all our listeners, that all your unrequited crushes call it moo juice in front of you.
Yeah, that would be the end of it.
Yeah,
moo juice. It's like you. Yeah,
that's so funny too. Because if she thought she was maybe flirting or something, she's like, "I'm gonna like say this funny thing," and then it just completely.
That was the end. That was the end.
All right, well, we're gonna take a break. Everyone, get a big tall glass of moo juice, and we'll be back in a second. Everybody, we're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
Yes.
I'm Bob Scratch Goldfarb. I felt like I forgot who I was for a moment.
That's okay. We'll put you on the spot. We're into a lady problem. If you have one, send them to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com or give us a call, 323-6-BUT-30.
Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Ooh.
I like that my Slack also went off in the middle of that, which really was an extra, a bonus sound.
Okay. Yeah, really adds to it.
Let's play this one.
Hey, ladies. I have an exciting lady problem. Not really for you guys. So I just moved to a new place. I'm super excited because I left the LA area, which was way too expensive, and I now live in the nicest place I ever have had because Utah is a lot cheaper. But my lady problem is that I am in a little townhouse where I live on the bottom floor, and then I have a neighbor on the top floor of the little house. And it's so nice. I used to hear, like, in California, I would hear, like, the TV, the radio, video games, people talking. I would hear all of my neighbor's business all the time. And in this place, it's not like that because it's so much nicer. It's newer. The walls are thicker. I don't know. But the one thing that I can hear late at night is my upstairs neighbor. I imagine his layout is right exactly above mine, like exactly the same, and I can hear him snoring so loud. Like, I woke up thinking my partner, who doesn't snore, I was like, my partner is snoring. This is crazy. I thought it was in my ear snoring, and it was the neighbor upstairs. And this doesn't seem to be a problem for my partner because he can sleep through anything, but I am really concerned. I mentioned this to a friend who was like, that guy might need some help. Like, he might have a medical risk with that if he's snoring so loud that you can hear him through the walls. But obviously, I don't know my neighbors, and I'm new in town, and it's all very weird. Like, what a weird thing to try to tell somebody. So if you have any advice for trying, like, obviously, I could put in headphones, but I feel like maybe this guy should know. Like, I don't know if he has family who's told him this. Anyways, thanks for everything you do. Love you, ladies. Bye.
Oh, I feel so bad for her.
I think she should actually tell the person, but tell them in a way that, because you could just wear earplugs.
Right.
But as someone that had this told to them, it is why I now have a CPAP, which has changed my life because now I'm way more alert and not sluggish all day. And I hate wearing the thing, but if my partner had said, "Yeah, you snore like a chainsaw," I would never have gotten it. And it has changed my life. But every night when I put, it's like waking up and you're being fucked in the face by a robot. That's what it's like. It's the worst feeling ever, but it's changed the quality of my life. So
I think
she has it in her to tell the person, I don't know how you couch it so it doesn't sound like you're bitching because they're making too much noise.
Well, because I'm assuming you had like a partner or someone tell you this and not like a neighbor.
It wasn't
a neighbor through the walls.
Well, I live in the middle of the woods, so it would have to be a Sasquatch or a turkey or something that would be complaining.
So what you're saying is she should start dating him. Earn his trust, and then...
Or become a thruple, maybe just to introduce this guy, and then go, "Hey, I'm not really into you banging. It was just I'm worried about your health. I think you need to wear a CPAP."
What if she sets up like an elaborate... Maybe there's like a Ghosts of Christmas present. You can like an apparition through the window that just kind of warns you, like, your health is at risk if you don't get a CPAP machine. Something.
I play a video of someone falling asleep behind the wheel of a car and mowing into a kindergarten class.
Exactly. Yeah, like those drunk driving, like, be safe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Totally. I mean, yeah, I know a lot of people that, like, those have helped out a lot because it's, like, it's your brain not getting oxygen, right? That's what sleep apnea is. So it's
so you're basically kind of dying a bunch all night long.
And to the point that I'm only really telling you this because I'm worried. Usually,
I have to be in the club for that to happen. but yeah, you stop breathing all night long. So I think I don't know. I'm not a big fan of just not talking to people about anything, you know. But this is affecting her. I don't know. How do you say that to you? You're snoring. Comes through the floor and I can hear it. I guess that's how I'd say it. I can put like a noise reducing machine on, but I'm concerned about your health.
I mean, I feel like you just kind of do it in a straight shot. You know, I guess you could like try to build up a friendship with him, but I think you just kind of get it all out in one go.
Is this why you pay people rent? So you give money to the landlords, the landlord does this for you, right? Is that the...
I don't know if this is in the landlord's jurisdiction. Yeah.
Yeah, because when I was in my younger days, not because of snoring, but we had a neighbor that did that with our excessive loud partying and guitar playing and gratuitous cocaine use. But and we didn't, you know, when the landlord talks to you, you know who ratted you out. I don't think that medium really...
Yeah.
It kind of makes it worse for your relationship probably because, you know...
We could be like, "Oh, I was trimming the bushes at midnight and I heard the wall shaking," you know?
I was in a movie and there was complaints about me personally just being too loud. Andy Griffith was doing Matlock on this. We were sharing a wall.
Are you serious?
Oh, no.
So as soon
there's
as like,
an odd couple.
I'm like, "Oh, what do you mean? They just said that I was too loud." And I was just like, "Well, okay, shots fired." So I bought a CD boombox, and I queued up Ween pushing up daisies, you know, pushing up daisies and making them grow. I just queued it on repeat and locked the room and then climbed out the window and had the speakers up against Andy Griffin's wall. So you have to be careful how you bring up, you're too loud. You can't say you're too loud. I think you have to say, "You know, I often hear you snoring and I'm concerned about your physical well-being." Or phrase it any other way, but be prepared to hear a lot of Ween.
But is this a letter? Is this a knock on the door? I'm assuming she doesn't have his phone number.
Y'all, I honestly think this is put the headphones in. And the more we're thinking about this, I'm like, you don't actually owe this person anything. He's just another stranger who may be in poor health. I would just put the headphones in.
But I think it's a twofer, right? It's like she wants to solve her problem and help him.
The yeah. odds of someone this guy doesn't know actually affecting real change to the point that he's going to go get a CPAP machine, I think, are pretty slim. In reality, yeah. he's going to get super defensive and embarrassed, and it's going to be
that's true.
Maybe you send him, because I know a lot of people. Did you have to do like sleeping test, like go do a sleep test and all that? Yeah.
Yeah. So- Which is like so not cool because they're watching you. They got a million wires on you, but there was no way I wasn't at least adjusting my junk during that test.
I can't imagine someone watching me sleep. That would be so weird.
Best case scenario, I was scratching my nuts. Yeah. That's the best case.
I definitely wake up tits out half the time and I'm like, I don't know what happened. Like, so yeah, I think like maybe make up a fake pamphlet that's like the sleep clinic or something like
with having crayon. A hard,
like not getting a good night's sleep, maybe you should come check us out. If like you just slip that into his mail.
I don't know what she does for work, but what if she got a degree in sleep apnea and then asked him to come be a subject for her to get her hours? Is there something there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think change your whole life to
Yes.
I guess it boils down to, do you have a relationship with this person? If it's a complete stranger, then I guess it's headphones. If it's someone that you actually might care a little bit about, you might want to say, hey, that doesn't sound healthy.
I agree. Yeah. If you are able to, maybe they already are acquaintances, or if this person's a friend at all, I agree. But if you don't know this person.
Yeah.
Man, that's tough. It's so hard when you move in somewhere because like these are the things that, how could you have ever known that this was going to be?
Or just neighbors in general. If my daughter was here and we said, what's the first rule? She said, don't talk to the neighbors. That's how I raised her.
Oh, God, yeah. Sean and I, we really want to move into a bigger place. And we went and looked at this place last weekend. And, like, the rent was, like, pretty low. And we parked. And I'm like, oh, this is cute. And then I looked to the left. I'm like, is that a graveyard? Okay. I'm like, all right, the rent's pretty. I think, did I live next to a graveyard? I'm like, LA, it's so
yes.
I'm like, all right, I could deal. Yes. So we walked through this whole house and it's like really cute. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. And we go in the backyard and there's just a dude standing in the backyard. And we look up and there's a guest house back there. And we're like, what's the deal? He's like, yeah, no, I live here. And we're like, you didn't put in the ad that there's a man living in the backyard.
Yeah, that's not a neighbor. That's a new sibling.
Yeah.
Or was he there?
Oh.
Was he from the graveyard?
Was dressed like a Civil War soldier, so
like I have been sleeping on this futon for 50 years.
Whoa. That gives you an example of how I think, like, you know. Should I move into a house next to a graveyard? Yes, there wasn't any. I didn't go. Well, maybe, yes. Always go for what's going to be the better story later.
Yeah. Immediately into it. Or what kind of graves? Who's buried next to you at this point?
I was moving and this guy goes, yeah, we had this mover. I couldn't, you know, one of the guys was missing an arm. And I was like, what are their numbers? I have to have them move me. Believe it or not, didn't go well. Turns out you need forearms for a successful moving company. But yeah, I was like, yeah, I got to have these guys.
No, 100%.
Okay, guys, let's wrap up. But we have one more voicemail we want to play with you, Bob. This is a really special one. It's one of the best voicemails we've received.
Yeah, we usually play these at the end of the show, but we wanted to listen to this one live.
And just some context for this, you're going to hear something called Country Heat referenced. And that is a country-themed aerobics video that Babs guest starred in.
Yeah. Wow.
So, all right. No big deal. But I've got some stuff. You know, I'm a star too. So, okay.
All right. Is it on your IMDb?
Oh my God, it's not. But I need to put it on there.
We need
that.
We can get it on there.
Okay.
Yeah. Country Heat needs to be on there. Yeah. Please.
That's insane. Okay. Here we go.
Hey, ladies. This is Carly from Tennessee, and this is more of a rambling testimonial, I guess, than a problem. But Babs, you actually brought up recently Country Heat again, so I felt like it was relevant enough to call in. I just wanted to share the story of how you inadvertently solved a problem. Back in 2018, I was wanting to get in shape for the Star Trek Las Vegas convention. And you mentioned doing your country heat testimonial thing, and I thought, well, that sounds just silly enough because I've never liked country music despite living near Nashville. And I ordered it and started doing it and thought, well, this is just ironically stupid enough for me to get into. And sure enough, I did it for a few months, and then my back started to hurt. And I thought, oh, my God, did I injure myself doing country heat dance workout? So I went to a doctor and found out I had the genetic marker for ankylosing spondylitis, which usually takes a few years to get diagnosed. And if I hadn't been doing the workout, I might have thought it was a workplace injury, and that would have been a nightmare. So I ended up getting treatment remarkably early for something that usually takes a while to diagnose, and also got to go to the Star Trek convention feeling pretty confident. So I just wanted to thank Bi Icon Babs Gray for the lovely picture I got of myself with Bi Icon Andrew Robinson, who plays Garrick in Deep Space Nine. And I'm just so glad y'all have kept on with the podcast and are on the Exactly Right Network. And just wanted to say thanks. Love y'all. Bye.
Wow. Saving lives over, I don't know if that's saving lives, but whatever. Saving something.
I love everything about that lady. That is such a wonderful story.
I know. Well, we heard it the first time. We just were like, the twists, the turns. This is a perfect, a perfect voicemail. Every moment
and then
is perfect.
She brings it back to feeling confident at the convention.
That is amazing. I'm so glad. Country heat.
That's,
you know,
country heat. You know, that's so insane. I don't have any positive stories. I've had people break up and stuff because.
Trust us, we've had that too.
Yeah, we've definitely had that too. I think we don't. There's voicemails we don't get, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, that's really sweet. That was a great story.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thanks, Carly, for calling in. That's amazing. And Bobcat, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It was so much fun.
Well, thank you. I had a lot of fun. I hope I didn't talk too much.
You talked the perfect amount.
You were great.
You're those talking shows, see?
Yeah, but I would not put on my gravestone, good listener. I'm thinking I want oh, now you like me.
Oh, I love that.
That's great. I love that.
Either that or... If this graves are rocking, don't come a knocking.
Well, you might be Tessa's neighbor someday, so you never know.
Yeah.
My guy gets out.
So tell everybody, I know Joyride comes out on October 29th, right?
Yeah, folks, if they can, every place it streams, and if you pre-order it on iTunes, that helps us in the queue. And I'm not sure when this is going out, but we're traveling around the country. If you go to my Instagram, we're doing Q&As and stuff, and working on a special one for Los Angeles. There may be a Simeon involved.
Oh man!
Oh, very exciting.
Well, yeah, it's a really fun movie. And just if you're a comedy fan, if you're just a fan of watching friends do dumb shit together, all of the above, please go watch it. It's really fun. So,
thanks.
Thank you so much for being on.
Oh, I was happy. So nice to be on. Thanks, guys.
All right, see y'all next week.
Bye. Bye.
3, 2, 3. 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. My name is Riley, and I just wanted to say that I'm a huge fan of your show, and I fucking love you. I've been listening to you guys since I was literally fucking like 18 years old, and now I'm like graduated from college, and you know, like living and having a career, and you know, like doing the damn thing. And I just wanted to say that like you guys have been there with me through all of that. And it's just such an honor to watch you become a part of the Exactly Right Network and then watch Tess and Babs do their thing on Toxic. I think everyone at the Starbucks I work at is tired of hearing me talk about Britney Spears, but I honestly don't fucking care. I just love you ladies and I wanted to let you know. So I hope you're having a great day and fucking keep up the badass rock. Rocking fucking work. I love you. Goodbye.
Hey ladies, it's early September and I just listened to Stupid Hot People. Great episode. I wanted to respond to the listener that is struggling with not drinking alcohol for health reasons. It's not easy to navigate social settings without drinking, but you're working hard to make sure that you're taking care of your body, and that is badass. I stopped drinking about 2 years ago after it nearly ruined my life, and I have watched my closest friends choose sobriety for a number of reasons, including for health. There are some great craft breweries that make non-alcoholic drinks, as well as alcohol-free movements across the country in support of people who can't or won't drink. Start following some alcohol-free Instagrams and surround yourself with some people that hang out in other places than other than bars. You'll start feeling a lot lighter without the social pressures. You are not alone, and we are here for you, and we love you, lady to lady. Thank y'all.